Wash your hands, brush your teeth, clean your nails. These are lessons we all learned early in life. Keeping clean helps us stay healthy. But what if you don't have soap to wash with, or a toothbrush, or a nail clipper? Hygiene kits are often presented to children living in refugee camps who do not have access to hygiene supplies. Some are given to women in rural education centers to encourage health care. People in such countries as Ukraine, Nicaragua, and North Korea have received hygiene kits in the past few years. Hygiene kits can mean the difference between sickness and health for struggling families, especially in the face of natural disasters, violence, or severe poverty. One hygiene kit includes a toothbrush and toothpaste, soap, and a towel and a nail clipper. The items are highly valued during times when people do not have access to even the most basic hygiene items. The kit can make a big difference in helping people to live in a healthy way. Thanks to your efforts, the love of Christ is being shared in the form of a small gift wrapped in a cloth bag. People who receive kits understand they are not left alone. Pack a hygiene kit today and someone, somewhere, will be able to wash their hands, brush their teeth, and clean their nails.
All right, so we just watched that video about hygiene kits, and that was our offering project for the week, and I just wanted to tell you a little bit about how great our God has been this week. And when we were planning for VBS, we knew that we wanted to pack hygiene kits, and we were trying to decide how many our goal would be. And we reluctantly decided that we were going to try to fill 216, and we thought that it was a lot, and we thought that we weren't sure how it was going to go, and that we would have to use our VBS budget money to fill in the gaps for what the offering didn't cover. But our God is great, and I was having a conversation with my oldest daughter, Kaylin, this week, and she said, "What if we don't get enough money to pay for all of the hygiene kits?" And I said, "I'm not worried about it, because we told God that we wanted to fill 216, and I know that he's going to provide." And he did. And he used us to do it, to do his work. And so our goal was 216. We actually ended up filling 221 hygiene kits, and they're all up there on the stage. We filled those up on Friday. And yeah, it's awesome. And we knew that after we bought all the items in bulk that they were going to cost approximately $3.10 per kit. So we knew that we wanted to raise $670, and we ended up raising $890. Yeah, which is amazing. So that extra $220 can go to MCC to help, because we didn't provide the toothpaste. They provide the toothpaste, and also to ship the kits to the people who need them both. So I just want to take a minute and pray over all of these kits that we worked so hard to pack this week. Dear Heavenly Father, you are just so good, and you are so awesome, and that you use us sinful humans to do your good works. And we thank you for using us this week to pack these 221 hygiene kits. We pray for the people who are going to receive them, people who have gone through hardships that most of us can't even imagine. And just receiving these things is going to change their lives. And I pray that as they receive these kits, they would know that you love them and you haven't stopped taking care of them. And they can just get to know you through these items, through these simple things that we take for granted. And I thank you for each person who prayed over these kits, who donated things, who donated money. And I just thank you for using us to do your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
And to experience God's presence in that time, you know, Mennonite Central Committee was asking for an emergency 8,000 of these hygiene kits. To go to places like Syria, more than likely, or Lebanon or Jordan, where the crisis there is just really extreme. And so this is one of the ways that the Finland Faith and Family VBS is making a difference, and grateful for all that. And if you want to continue to contribute to that, there is an offering bowl in the back. And as you go out, you know, you can do what some pastors say. You reach for your wallet, you empty it out. If a credit card falls in there, fine. That's okay. We'll take that too. But it'll all go to MCC, to their work, because 200 is meaningful. 221 is meaningful, but we need about 8,000 right now. That's what they're asking for. So appreciate your help in that. I was really blessed to be part of this week, and it was something new for Finland Mennonite Church to try something like this. We had people from as young as 8 months, I guess. Tommy was the youngest, and maybe Betty Drescher was here, so that's a span of about 80 years or plus, probably, of folks who came out. And just to blend that all together was a challenge for us to figure out how are we going to do this. But I'm just grateful for the committee that worked so well together. And we'll give some thanks in a little bit about that. But what I wanted to do this morning is, whether you were here or not, to take you to the theme verse, Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. And it's a great verse. God is watching, is with me. He's watching over me wherever I go. Now, the question is, what's the context of that? Because whenever you're reading the Bible or taking a verse like that, you want to know what's the setting. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 28. And I'm going to take you to two 28s, Genesis 28 and then Matthew 28. But I want us to see the context for Genesis 28. And let me read for us, starting at verse 10. The person is Jacob. And Jacob, of course, if you remember, was the son of Isaac, who then was the son of Abraham. And Abraham was important because Abraham received the promise of God. Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. And he believed that through Abraham and through his seed, all the people of the world would be blessed. So Isaac comes along. We just about lose Isaac. He's supposed to be sacrificed. But then God says, no, I'll give you a ram in place of that Isaac. Isaac comes along. He has the twins, Jacob and Esau. And you know, they go back and forth. Jacob cheats Esau out of his birthright. That's part of the story. Jacob is here now. Jacob is told by his father and blessed by Isaac to go and find a good wife. A good wife. So he goes off to his extended family. And it is in the process of finding them. He's not married yet. He doesn't know if he's going to have any kids or not. But he knows he's part of this line. He's going to be blessed. Okay, so that's where the story is now. We pick up verse 10. He's on his way to look for a wife. Here's what it says. Jacob left Beersheba, went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord, that's capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, Yahweh. The Lord, the God of Abraham, stood above it. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and in you and your offspring, here it is, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 15, behold, here it is. I am with you, and I will watch over you. And he says, wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So there's the story. And Jacob wakes up and says, surely the Lord was in this place. So what does he do? He takes a rock. I mean, imagine having a pillow as a rock. A rock as a pillow, I mean. I mean, that's pretty desperate when you got to figure out how you're going to sleep on a rock. But that rock allows him to sleep, and in the midst of his sleep, he dreams. And God speaks to him through this dream. And he sees this ladder. You know, you've heard of Jacob's ladder. And these angels are ascending and descending, but at the top of the ladder is the Lord. Now keep that in mind. The top of this ladder is the Lord, God. And he's addressing Jacob. So what does Jacob do? Jacob wakes up, takes this rock, and he realizes that this hard place, where he's laying his head on this journey, not knowing where he's going, not knowing who his wife would be, just knowing that there was a promise of God, and God speaks to him in this dream, he takes this rock, and what does he do with it? He actually makes it into a holy place. It says he takes oil, olive oil, or whatever kind of oil he had, and he pours it over it. And it becomes, and he calls it Bethel, the house of God. Beth, house, and El, the house of God. He said, this place is now an awesome place because this is where God has been. It, I don't know about you, but rocks are hard for sure. But let me tell you, life is hard. And maybe you're experiencing and have experienced some rocks in your life. Maybe you're going through some of those places right now where you're laying your head down and you're saying, man, this is hard. This is hard. But rocks are places where God shows up. Rocks are places, hard times are places where God can show up, and then we come back to this promise. What does God say to Jacob? He's saying to all of us in the context of this story, I am with you, and I will watch over you. The English Standard Version says, I will keep you, and I will go with you wherever you go. I remember probably the earliest rock that I found showing up in my life was when I went to camp, and I was 13 years old, and I realized in that time God spoke to me about my need for a Savior, that how I needed Jesus. And I'll still remember the place at Spruce Lake. How many of you have been to Spruce Lake Retreat, to the camp? A number of you, okay. Well, that's what, the first place where I experienced a rock, a place where it didn't feel good when I first thought about what my life was like in relation to God, that I was a sinner. And I realized I couldn't do anything about that. And I still remember going to the back to the rock. There was a rock out there, actually. I sat on the rock, and one of the counselors prayed with me. He prayed with me a prayer that went something like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, but I also know that you are the Savior. And I ask him to forgive me of my sins. And I choose to follow Jesus from that point on. And I just remember how at that rock, at that hard place of recognizing my sinfulness, God came and he lifted that off of my shoulders and he gave me a peace. And I look back on that rock and I say, thank you, Lord, for that rock. Thank you for getting my attention. If you're here today and you've never committed your life to Jesus, maybe today is this rock for you. And you realize that you're a sinner in need of God's help and God's grace and God's salvation. And our prayer for you and for all of us has been that you would accept Jesus, that you would follow Jesus, that you would turn to Jesus. I remember another rock in my life, and that came as a young adult after I was well into my career as a banker, and God just sort of brought this dissatisfaction into my life, and I didn't know where to turn, and then I realized that God was calling me in a different direction, and so the rock was a career change. The rock was God showing up, not in a dream, but in the form of my heart just being restless. And so then starting this journey of going into ministry is one of those rocks that I remember. What are your rocks in your life? And maybe today there is a rock that just feels so hard and you don't know what to do with it. This promise is for you. God says to you, I am with you, and I will watch over you. And if you'll trust me, I'll go with you wherever you go. Amazing story. Now, what's even more amazing is that when we go to the New Testament, now if you want to flip into Matthew, don't go all the way to 28, but right now just go to Matthew chapter 1. And Jesus is given a name. Actually, Joseph was told to name him Jesus because he would save people from their sins. But to fulfill the prophecy from Isaiah, you remember what his name was? Remember? Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Huh. So he gave this promise to Jacob, and Jacob was promised that through his line, through his people, all the world would be blessed. And onto the scene comes Jesus, born as a baby, named Jesus because he would save people from their sins. But he was given the name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. Now go to John chapter 1. I want you to see what Jesus came to do. John chapter 1, verse 51. This image of the ladder shows up again. And John records for us, he sees John chapter 1, verse 51. Jesus comes on the scene. He's about 30 years old now. And he comes on the scene, and what he does is he announces that he's calling people to follow him. So he starts calling his disciples. And he calls Philip, and then he calls Nathanael. Now, Nathanael is interesting because he sees Nathanael from a distance, and he sort of knows everything about Nathanael. He said, there's one. There's a guy in whom there's no guile. There's an honest man right there. Nathanael comes up to him and says, how do you know that? And then Jesus simply says, well, when I saw you over there with Philip, I saw you. Like I really saw you. Like I know. I know what's going on in your life. And then Nathanael says, whoa, this must be the Son of God. This must be the Messiah. Now notice what Jesus says in verse 51. And he said, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending, not on the ladder, but on what? On the Son of Man. You see, we do not climb our way to God. You don't make your way to God and balance out what you do good and what you do bad, and then you say, well, you know, I'm a few rungs from the top, but if I just try harder, I'll get there. You don't climb your way to God. Instead, God came down to us and Jesus. Jesus is the ladder. Jesus is the bridge. Jesus is the bridge. And never forget that God loves you. He knows you. Remember what the dive markers were? This week, guys who were there, what were they? God knows me. He what? Hears me. What else? God strengthens me. What else? God loves me. And God sends me. These dive markers are important for a diver to mark in the water where they are so they don't lose track of where they are, so that they know exactly what the steps are along the way. God knows me, God hears me, God strengthens me, God loves me, and God sends me. Jesus is the ladder. Jesus is the bridge. And he invites us to trust him and follow him. And he has this wonderful desire to send us out. Now, let's finish up with Matthew 28. Remember the 28? You got Genesis 28, but you also have Matthew 28. The end of the Gospel of Matthew. Turn there with me. To Matthew 28, I just want to finish this up now by bringing it back to the most important words that Jesus gave us as we get ready to go. Here it was. Matthew 28 and verse 16. Matthew 28 and verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, here it is, I am with you always to the end of the age. Genesis 28. To Jacob, he says, I will be with you wherever you go. Matthew 28, the last words of Jesus, he says, I will be with you to the very end of the age. I will go with you. What an amazing promise when we trust our lives to Jesus, when we begin to follow him. And the amazing thing is he has work for us to do. And that was the fun part about this last week for me was Lydia and I and a bunch of our volunteers got to be out in the Echo sub service project area. Echo stands for Equipped by Christ to Help Others. Echo, E-C-H-O, Equipped by Christ to Help Others. And we were doing all kinds of things. We're going to tell you about that in just a moment. But what was exciting to see was we were hearing the Bible stories, and then we were putting them into practice. And then we were working together in the recreational time and eating together, and just felt like the family of faith here was strengthened by all this. But in the midst of it all, Christ was present. And he's giving us direction, and he's helping us to move on the way. So what does Jesus leave us with? He says, first of all, he says, know me. Some worship, some doubt it. There are always going to be people who say, no, I don't believe. And maybe you're here today, you say, no, I don't believe that. Well, I trust that the Holy Spirit will continue to bring you back here so we can continue to talk about that. But he invites us to know him. And then he invites us to grow in him. They learned all about what Jesus was wanting to tell you, to grow in him. And then to show him by the way we live our lives. And then to go with him. And that's the exciting part of the Great Commission. So I want to just pray with you today and invite you just to bow your heads as we pray. Thankful that God has promised he would go with us. And we were talking about these rocks that you might be laying your head on right now, and maybe there's something in your life that just is really a challenge. And I would invite you to know that God knows you and God hears you. God loves you, and God will strengthen you, and God will send you out as well. But invite you just in this quiet moment to hold that rock up in your mind and just say, God, I can't handle this, and I need your help. Maybe today you realize that you don't really have a relationship with God, but you want to. Maybe you're like I was, as a teenager, just realizing I didn't really have a relationship with God, but I knew I needed one and wanted one. And so just quietly in your heart, I would invite you to pray this prayer along with me as I pray it. Just say it silently in your heart as a way to begin this journey, this exciting journey of knowing that God is with you and he's watching over you and he'll go with you wherever you go. And I would invite you to pray, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I also know that you are the Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I turn to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and rising from the dead. I choose to follow you from this day forward. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for giving me the gift of eternal life. If your heart is reaching out to God in that way, to Jesus, then he's listening. And he's responding to you right now. He's saying, yes. Yes, I hear your prayer. And I receive you as my son or daughter. The Bible says, but to as many as received him, to them he's given the right to become sons of God and daughters of God, even to those who believe on his name. Gracious God, thank you for your presence here with us today and throughout this week. Thank you for the things we've been learning together about you and about your word and about the stories of these people of faith who have followed you. And Lord, today we hear that promise again from Genesis 28:15 that you will watch over us. You will be with us. You will watch over us. And wherever we go, as we go to, as we're sent out into the world today, we ask, Holy Spirit, you go with us. Thank you for your grace and love. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. One of the other important things we did as we were together in the service project area was we worked at not only putting together the hygiene kits, but with the help of some great sewers, we had four large comforters that we needed to knot. And well, before we actually show those to you and pray over those, I want to show a brief video. And as you're watching this video, this is from Mennonite Central Committee, sort of their thank you for the help that's going out to the Syrian refugees. As I said, There are currently more than 60 million refugees in our world. It's more than ever, more than World War II, even, post-World War II. Monday, this past Monday, was actually World Refugee Day. Found that out after the fact. So we were right in the throes of doing something to help this process as we were together this week on World Refugee Day. 60 million. Can't even begin to get my mind around. That means people that have been displaced from their home. In Syria, some folks are staying in the country of Syria, but they're in refugee camps, not in their cities or in their houses. The sad reality is, they say most, if not half of these 60 million, will never be able to get back to their original home. Or it'll take up to 30 years for some of these folks. You know, you can imagine me temporarily being out of your house. But imagine that you have no home anymore. And so the help that we're offering is showing God's love and kindness with these. So as you watch this video, watch for the health kits, these bags. Watch for the comforters, these little blankets that we'll show you in a moment. But let's take a look at this.
What we're going through in Syria is, we believe, is considered as a great test for faith. Because people feel like all destinations are endless and that all the doors are closed. And they feel that they have no, at least a small window of light. And what they ask themselves is, where is God from all that's happening? Is he hearing? Is he seeing what's happening in Syria? And if yes, why doesn't he interrupt? And where is his great will and where is his justice? We believe that despite all the bad things that's going on and all the evil, our world is still so beautiful and still has so good in it. And people feel that goodness when they receive all the help that came from outside Syria, because they feel that there are people out there who are actually thinking of them. It's not all about the crisis. Even those crises brought us to know that there are people in other countries who know Syria and who think about the people there and about what they're going through. People in Syria feel that that even the smallest aid that comes to them is so appreciated, because it doesn't only just help them from the material, like the school kids. And so you cannot see the happiness in people's eyes when they saw that we were giving them that, because it came with love. That's the most important thing.
So I asked a couple of the gang to come up and help me display these. Come on up, Colin, Aaron, and Caden, Chloe, and Kaylin. Grab your, grab the comforters. I want you to show you what these folks were able to do together with the adults. So we were able to not, spin it around. There you go. And jump up on the step there, that first step, so you can hold that up as high as you can. There you go. And we'll get this one organized over here. Hold that up. There you go. Yeah, come over this way a little bit. Hold it up. There you go. That's a wide one. There you go. So we actually were able to do four. And these two are finished. These were sewn around the edges. And everybody pitched in. It was just really a neat project. In addition to that, a couple of the days we made patches ourselves. We traced them and then colored them. And those will be ironed on and then sewn together into tops like this, that we hope we can bring back to Finland, and then we'll keep knotting. We've learned how to knot now, right? Woohoo! And we can make a difference. You know, MCC last year sent about 65,000 of these. Over half of them went to Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, where the extreme need is. And I mean, you might say to yourself, well, why do they need a blanket in the Middle East? Isn't it hot there? No. It actually snows in Lebanon. We saw a video of that, right? We saw the video. There's actually snowstorms. And so they need warm blankets because they basically have left their home fleeing for their lives to get away from the bombings and the war. What I've asked these guys to do, and these guys have all done a great job. They just represent a few of the folks that really helped. But we're going to pray for these. I've asked these guys, Colin and Aaron and Caden and Kaylin and Chloe, to pray for these comforters and for the people in Syria and for what's going on. So would you join us and pray as they lead us in prayer?
God, millions of refugees are living in danger. Help them find a safe place to live. Give them food to eat and shelter for their families. Work in their lives so that they might come to know you and follow Jesus. Lord, we trust in you.
Jesus, you love your children. Each Syrian child is precious to you. Protect them from harm. Help their parents as they work to provide for their families in the refugee camps. Lord, we trust in you.
God, Psalm 46:9 says that you make war cease to the ends of the earth. Help those in conflict with one another to come to a peaceful solution so that families may resume their daily lives. Lord, we trust in you.
Heavenly Father, you love each child who has faced fear and loss as a result of the war in Syria. Open your hearts in their needs and use these comforters to bring your comfort to a family in need. Lord, we trust in you.
Lord, come to the aid of families who have fled to safety. Guide them to places where they can find help and rest. Provide host communities with the resources to assist families arriving on their doorstep. Lord, we trust in you.
And Lord, we thank you for the hands that have worked hard to make these comforters. And they are, as you said, your hands and your heart that we offer to you now. And we thank you for the privilege that we have to serve you. And Jesus, you said in your word, Matthew 25, then as much as we've done it to the least of these, we've done it to you. So Jesus, that's our heart, to love you and serve you. Thank you for hearing our prayers as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.